Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
My buttons are busting for joy. Or it was that lunch I had. This is Wretched Radio. The following information comes courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford. Courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford. Courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford. No, I'm not skipping. I'm trying to repeat the credit of the source of information that you're about to hear because, well, it seems that there's some pastors who never give any credit. So I just wanted to compensate by giving credit to Dr. Greg Gifford, who is from the Masters University, who happens to be in town despite his wishes, in order to work on our brand new TV series called Transformed, and it is going to be da bomb diggity. And so for the last couple of days, I've been sitting and listening to him talk and counsel and just chit-chat, and wow, I'm reminded the Bible is boffo. It's for the Southern Baptists who are listening who need alliteration. The Bible is boffo. It continues to show itself to shock us and to cut us and to heal us and to help us understand ourselves. We need that. And the Bible does that for a myriad of issues. So let's start with one, shall we? Fear. This question is going to be stated very precisely. What do you fear? If you say, I don't think anything, well, then you should. And if you didn't say God, you should do that too. What is fear? Is it a sinful emotion? It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It is right to fear some things, to be concerned about potential realities, not fantasies, not imaginings. Well, it could happen that if I cross this street, even though I've looked both ways 74 times, a Corvette could just rip right through and kill me. Well, that's possible, I guess, but it's not reasonable. I understand your concern about that. Nobody wants to get hit by a Corvette. I mean, really, of all the cars, to a Corvette, and then it's probably some guy who's about 60, who's maybe driving with somebody who isn't his, maybe his new wife, who looks like she could be his daughter. I'm just saying there's a bit of a stereotype, which I actually know to be true, as sociological as my study was. La Crosse, Wisconsin was having a Corvette rally. Mrs. Friel and I were driving down the Mississippi River. We used to live in St. Paul, Minnesota. You have to say it that way. Otherwise, they kick you out and make you go to Wisconsin. So we're driving down the river, and Corvettes are just every place. And I couldn't help but notice all the guys look, give or take, about 60, like they're driving with their daughter, but they're not. I'm just saying. That's my sociological commentary on the stereotype of Corvette drivers. You could get hit by one. But it's not reasonable. You shouldn't fear that. What do you fear? If you deal with phobias of any kind, and I have learned increasingly, so many Christians, we all have fear. It's so natural. Whether it is imagined or real, we just have a tendency to be on guard because we want to protect ourselves or we want to protect what we treasure. And understanding that actually gets to the core of helping us figure out our fear problem and find a solution to it in order to overcome it. Here's what Jesus said. In the context of talking about evangelism, Jesus said, you're going to go out and I want you to declare it. Even the stuff that you heard from me in private, I want you to declare it publicly. Let people know. In other words, don't be ashamed. And he tags them on that, because if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you on Judgment Day. But in the context of that bookended section, Jesus gives us the solution to our fear of man problem. It is in that context that we hear a Bible verse that you probably know. Do not fear man. You're scared to share your faith. Don't fear man. Instead, here's our remedy. Fear God, who has the ability, the power, to not just take your life like a man can, but he can send you to hell. Fear him. In other words, when we move what might even be a valid fear, might be a sinful fear, instead we redirect our fear of the Lord, it will put our other concerns in their proper place. That's how it works. Because God has ordained and orchestrated that this is how the world functions, and this is how a human being thrives. You fear him. When you're not going to thrive. When you do, you will, because it puts everything in place. You could create, I suppose, about 1,000 really lame sermon illustrations, but I'll just create one. You're standing on a train track with shackles around your ankles, straddling you to both sides of the track. You've got left foot, right foot on each rail, and you are stuck. And you hear a locomotive coming, and they are barreling, and you know enough about physics. That thing ain't going to slow down in time to not run me over. And let's just say, as you are facing that fear, some kid has got too much free time, and he got himself a straw. Not these crummy, ridiculous paper straws that we're pushing these days because supposedly we're in a straw crisis. Made up by a fifth grader in Seattle. He's got a real spitball sort of affair. Start shooting spitballs at you. I wonder if any of us would go, hey, now that's just about enough. Come over here. We need to talk about this. Not a chance. You'd be aware of the annoyance, but your focus is going to be on fearing the imminent danger, the bigger threat. This will sound foreign to some ears, but God is a bigger threat than anything on the planet. God is our biggest problem. Why? Because we're outside of his will. We're rebels by nature. And because of God's great love for justice and righteousness and holiness, he's going to chase you down, and he is going to judge you, and then he will cast you into a lake of fire because of his goodness. Our biggest problem is God. This is why the Bible says it is a, what? Fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A question, of course, comes from this. If you're saying, skinny boy, courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford, courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford, courtesy of Dr. Greg Gifford, that you just need to be scared of God and then your other fears will fall into place. I'm tracking that, but am I supposed to be scared of God? Let's define that word. We are commanded to fear the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom, after all. So if you're keeping that wisdom from your kids, you're not doing them any favors because you don't want them to be scared. They should be scared. It's our primary threat. It's not global warming. Okay, well, that's kind of a ridiculous one anyway. It's not forest fires in California. Are they still having them? Wow, they had a bunch of them. No, actually, I think it was bad. They didn't have as many fires this year, despite the drought that was out there. Somebody was telling me, or I heard some liberal talking about, and maybe it was Bill Gates, something like that. There's all this water that's happening in the east. There's no water happening in the west. So they want to figure out a way to jerry-rig the clouds to get that water over there. Good luck! You don't have a chance! You think you're going to seed a cloud and make it go kaboom and control weather patterns?
They just got to call Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
That would also get the job done. The weather directors.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers that we think that we can control the weather. We think we know what's going on in outer space. It's. I suppose we could learn some stuff, but it's a bit of a fool's errand. Only God has that. And it is that sort of understanding of God that gives us the correct fear, not a servile fear, not a cowering, I'm scared. I don't even want to get out of bed because God could strike me down and kill me. Well, he could do that, but just so you know, he could do it when you're in bed too. We're not supposed to have a terrorized fear of God. You should if you're not saved. If you're outside of Christ, believe me, you should be running through the streets screaming and pulling out your hair because you're going to face the wrath of the Lamb on Judgment Day. And believe me, you will have wished, like Job, that you had never been born. But to those of us who have run to Jesus, not from him, to him in repentance and faith, we're reconciled to him and we don't stop losing our sense of awe, our sense of wonder, and our sense that God is really big and he is a fearful being. He's an otherly being. Yeah, there's a lot of other attributes. We're just focusing on what Jesus said. Fear him rightly and your fears of everything else, not with a silver bullet, but with time, retraining your thinking, reforming your brain, having it be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind about the will of God. You will increasingly find yourself not being scared, not being afraid, not being troubled, not being anxious, not having acid in your stomach. When we realign our thinking and reinterpret our situations and re-aim them biblically, God will give you not more sleepless nights. He'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we're grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, comments, questions, conundrums, and even the snarks. You can contact us a couple of different ways. First, you can send an email at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave a beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. However you decide to reach out to us, know that we are always looking forward to hearing from you. Just like this recent email we received from, we'll say Anonymous, who says, "Salutations, Mr. Friel. Just finished reading your booklet, Slaying the Lust Dragon, and praise be to God, it's phenomenal. I've recently been struggling against lust after a long period of victory and a relatively recent breakup. Your message was both incredibly convicting and impactful. I can't thank our great God and you enough for this resource." So send us those wretched stories, questions, comments, conundrums, and even the snarks to idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Brilliant. I have been telling you, the Masters Academy International is brilliant. Thoughtful, biblically conceived, equipping ministry, training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth and shepherd local congregations, 17 countries around the world, but they do it in a way that is absolutely brilliant.
There's a danger in theological education done in abstraction from the local church. You produce eggheads that simply don't know how to walk people through life issues. We need to have theological education tightly interwoven with church life.
That is precisely what the Masters Academy International does. It trains pastors in conjunction with the local church. It is brilliant and so effective, and it bears so much fruit. Please consider supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, Remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead. Tell me what you fear, and I'll tell you what. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, let's play a little biblical counseling game. Just spent a couple of days with Dr. Greg Gifford of Masters University. He heads up the Masters program there. It is an outstanding program. I encourage you to check it out to consider becoming a well-trained biblical counselor. They have a four-year degree. They now have a Masters program. I'm not sure they've got their doctorate in biblical counseling yet, but they're close if they're not already there. And he is a part of the biblical counseling department who's going to be hosting our new TV series called Transformed. I cannot wait to show it to you. You are going to watch it and immediately think you're watching something on Netflix. It's that good and that well done. Please don't repeat this to anybody because I don't want the whippersnappers down the hall to hear that they're doing a good job. But they are. Unbelievable. We really have a youthful crew, at least according to some. I don't think there's any young people around here, but that's just me. Jimmy, you probably feel older on them, but but they are amazing. Road Trip to Truth is spectacular. Transformed is going to be really groundbreaking Christian TV. By the way, not only are we filming Transformed today with one of our crews, the Road Trip crew is out and about on the campuses right now with Dr. John Fabares. Well, I just gave him an upgrade. With John Fabares, the host, he's youth pastor at Compass Bible Church in California. You are going to really be thrilled at this show, not just because of production quality, but because of what you're going to experience. You're going to see an actual witness, or not a witness encounter, a biblical counseling session. And you will hear from people who are struggling with this or that, as we all do, have the Bible applied not in a sermon, but in a genuine discipleship way, eye to eye, face to face, with your name inserted in the blank. Please don't hear that I'm suggesting stop listening to sermons. No. Keep listening to sermons, but we would do well as we hear the preaching to try to apply it to ourselves, not to the people we think we need it, but to ourselves. And what a biblical counselor will do, and you can find one, by the way, at biblicalcounseling.com, biblicalcounseling.com. If you're not familiar with biblical counseling, we have three very long, like 60, 70 lectures on each one of the discs, biblical counseling 1, 2, and 3. Biblical counselors will hear your story. They want to understand and ask really super smart questions. That is where so much counseling goes off the rail. And might I add, that's where a whole lot of parenting goes off the rails. We assume that we know, and that's a bad posture because we don't know. Somebody bares their soul. Hey, I'm struggling with fill in the blank. Oh, yeah, I know why. I see the house you live in. I understand why. No, you don't. And so you really need to, well, it's called inventory gathering, data gathering. In biblical counseling lingo, I call it interrogation. You need to waterboard them if you need to, but you've got to get to the heart of the issue. And that is what this TV show is going to do. It will repeat a theme that there is fruit and there's a root. Your sin, the thing that you're dealing with, your phobia, your anxiety, that's a fruit. The biblical counselor asks questions to find out the root. Let's do that right now, shall we? What do you fear? Will tell me what you blank. Jimmy, you want to take a shot at filling in the blank? I'll do it again for you. You tell me what you fear, and I'll tell you what you blank.
Okay.
Okay. That makes no sense. Tell me what you fear, and I'll tell you what you okay. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Tell me what you fear, and I'll tell you what you worship.
You know what? Okay. That works too.
Okay.
Same thing. I was going to say, because I'm stealing this from Greg Gifford, it's what you value.
Oh, okay.
Same thing, though. Yeah. Worship, value, because isn't that what worship is? Ascribing value,
right?
Weight to someone. There's a correlation. If you fear something, it tells me that you treasure something. Now, it might not be the thing itself. So, for instance, let's just say you fear the police. You've got a phobia of the police. And you see them in the cars and you kind of go into a hyperdrive and you start to sweat and shake. And it's like, oh, boy, there's a police officer. Does that mean that you fear the police officer? Not necessarily. It could be. But most likely it's you fear what the police officer could do to you. So if you, for instance, have a fear of being fined money because you don't have any money at the moment, and if you got pulled over, that would be a big problem. Or you have a fear of confinement. They could put me in the hooskow, and that terrifies me. Why? Because you value freedom. And you value money. You tell me what you fear, and that can tell us what you value. Now we take that information and we apply it to the subject of worship. So when I so fear something, so concerned about something, it tells me I really, really, really value it. Let me give another example just to set the table. You value a spouse, a lot. You're single and you want to be married like real bad. Okay, that's a good desire. Why? And I fear that if I don't get married, I'm gonna be miserable. All right, then I can tell you what you value. You value companionship, perhaps romance, perhaps the idea of a picket fence with kids running around and a dog door. That's what you value. And you fear that if you don't get a spouse, those things aren't going to happen. Do you see how we have to dig a little deeper? And the good question asker will get the right answers to determine what we're valuing. So now, how do we lose our fears? You reorient your values. Is it good to desire a spouse? Yipper, it certainly is. Is it something, however, that if you don't get it, you won't have fulfillment, companionship, happiness, joy? If that is what you seek, then you will have fear. And now we take a look at a different object. And we ask ourselves the question, does this object provide me with those things in better measure than a spouse? Is there anyone or anything that is even better when it comes to companionship, joy, fulfillment, purpose? Is there anyone who can actually satisfy that? And the answer to that is it's Jesus Christ. In fact, not only can he, that is exactly what he desires. He wants you to enjoy him, starting now, to value him, to treasure him, to esteem him. And the more you do, the less you're going to treasure the lesser stuff, and the less you will have fears that you're not going to get it. Because here's the problem. Now, this hasn't happened in my marriage, but at some point, your spouse is going to sin and let you down. And chances are actually pretty good they're going to wound you. Where are you left? You've got a ring around your finger, but suddenly your fulfillment center has disappointed. It's shut down, closed up shop, didn't deliver. And they don't even give you a shipping information. You don't even know that it's ever going to happen again. And there you are. The very thing you feared will come to fruition if you are valuing something lesser than Jesus too much. Now, this is not to suggest that we don't value those things. It's that when we treasure Christ that much, the other things find their place. You know what? I'd like a spouse. And then when your spouse is fun and everything is great, you enjoy that. But you don't say, that's the thing that brings me ultimate contentment. Because on the day when he or she doesn't treat you the way you want to be treated, suddenly your idol has disappointed because you've been worshiping a lesser thing. It doesn't mean you don't love your spouse. It doesn't mean that you don't enjoy your kids. What it means is we enjoy and treasure Jesus that much more. And when you do that, your values will get put in priority and your fears will decrease. God will do that for you. And he probably won't do that from you having heard what I just said. As if Snappo, Cracko, Popo, you got fixed. You heard one lecture, you read one Bible verse, and you're fixed. No, probably doesn't work that way because we've got misaligned priorities. We've got the wrong idols. We are worshiping wrongly. We value the wrong things too much. Progressively, start fearing the Lord. Start treasuring Jesus by studying him. Not turning your eyes to the prize, turning your eyes to Jesus. And you will have new priorities, a new realignment, and your fears, your phobias, and your sleepless nights will slowly go away. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Now, while the Liberal House of Representatives are trying to block the saving of babies' lives, the state of Texas has already actually saved nearly 3,000 babies in the last 30 days since the heartbeat abortion ban became law. The law prohibits abortions once a baby's heartbeat is detectable, which is typically at about 6 weeks of pregnancy. And let me give you a little perspective here. Last year, in 2020, 54,000 unborn babies were murdered in the state of Texas. About 85% happened after 6 weeks of pregnancy, which means tens of thousands of babies will be saved in Texas every year. That is, of course, unless the House gets its way and convinces the Senate to pass this Abortion Up to Birth Act that they themselves passed this last Friday. Let's pray the Senate will shoot down this demonic legislation. A Lutheran pastor from Wisconsin has announced that God is talking to him, and apparently the Lord has told this guy to fast from food until Congress passed a $3.5 trillion climate change policy. Jonathan Barker apparently thinks God is telling him to do this. And look, regardless of what you think about the climate debate, that really makes no difference to me. But what I do find out, however, is that a pastor with a straight face announcing that the sovereign creator of the universe, the one that holds all things together, needs the United States Congress to pass a law to help the climate. Come on, be realistic here. Do you really think if the climate actually needed fixing, that God himself would need anybody's help to fix it? Yeah, that God you're serving, buddy, is not the God of the Bible. Our favorite big tech giant has such a heart for the kids. Google is advertising to children a new mobile game that will apparently give them skills that Google thinks they need to have. I can't really be certain about their motivation for promoting this game to kids, but it teaches them how to sexually assault teenage girls. Thankfully, though, there has been a large amount of flack thrown at Google for it, rightfully so. But I'm not sure at this moment if the game is still available or not. But I do find it awfully ironic that Google's inappropriate content policy says that apps that contain or promote sexual content are prohibited. I wonder where they drew the line with this one then. Well, here's a big shocker for you. The Taliban has just banned women from Afghanistan's number one college, even though they promised that they were going to be more inclusive. And we just thought they were good terrorists that kept their word. This is really a situation that continues to get sadder by the day, and I'm not saying that inclusion and the rights of women are what the focus should be here. What I am saying, though, is that while our leaders in power here in America preach and pass laws that they deem as having progress and equity and inclusion and shoving same-sex bathrooms and locker rooms and all this equality down our throats, at the same time they're cowering to terrorists who push back on these calls for equity. Not sure why Big Bag Joe's not just doubling down since the rights of the LGBT seem to be one of his biggest agenda items. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
With all due respect to REO Speedwagon, This is Wretched Radio. I'm going to keep fighting those feelings. Why? Because feelings should not be the driver of my Christian car. My feelings about virtually anything are not authoritative. My feelings are often misinformed, and they will lead me into bad places. So REO Speedwagon can't fight those feelings anymore. But we've got to try, and I mean a lot, dominate so many lives.
Nothing more than feeling.
Now, that's actually bad theology right there, which you wouldn't expect from a song from the 70s. Good theology, but nothing more than feelings. It makes it sound like they're nothing. Feelings aren't nothing. Feelings are something. We have feelings because, rightly understood, God has feelings. They are not affected by externals. They are internally controlled, predetermined, and always right. So God has emotions, but he's not emotional. We're made in his image. We have them. And if we simply look at our feelings that we have and we go, well, I'm just going to get rid of them. I'm constantly anxious. I'm just going to stop it. You might be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You might go to an extreme. And you might suddenly become kind of a flatline sort of fella because you don't want to show emotions. It's okay. It's just that they need to be guided and they need to be controlled and they need to be put in the back seat or the trunk and let something else drive my car. Truth. When I am following truth, my feelings will take a back seat and they will be appropriate. They won't be a screaming kid who doesn't want to be in his car seat. My feelings will sit back there, strapped in, buckled in, rightly informed, behaving the way that they're supposed to. But I have got to kick feelings out of the preeminent position in my life and start being guided by truth. And then I have my feelings, and my feelings will be right. If we're not careful, let's just say, Jimmy,
yes.
I've heard that you feel like doing crack. Just work with me on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Could you at least sound like you're desiring crack at the moment?
I don't know how to.
I'm not sure we've ever checked out your acting chops before.
No.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, why is it that you want this crack so badly?
Because I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to do for you?
It's going to make me feel really good.
Okay, well, stop that feeling. Stop it.
Okay.
Don't want a feeling to feel really good. Don't do that. Now, see what I just did there?
That's biblical counseling.
Might be Christian counseling, but it's not biblical counseling. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to get rid of our emotions. We just want them to be right, and I want to fight those feelings. Because if I don't, my life is probably going to be a little ricochet-y. That's right, ricochet-y. You're going to pinball all over the place. You are going to be driven by whims, driven by desires, good, bad, or otherwise. And the cure is not just get rid of them. It is to rightly inform them and not be feelings-led, but faith-led. Let me perhaps give you an example of what that looks like as I ask you, do you know what we're not going to talk about now? And you say, hold on, skinny boy. How could I know what we're not going to talk about if you haven't talked about it and you don't plan on talking about it? Those are valid questions. We're not going to talk about a subject that's really big right now. There is a story in evangelical Christianity that it's sizzling. It's a good one. It's got some zest to it. And when I first read the story, you know what I felt? I felt a lot of stuff, but one of my feelings was I gotta talk about this. I gotta say something about this. That's being led by my feelings. Because I just had this urge to get off my chest what suddenly plopped there. That's being feelings-led. Here's what faith-led looks like. Read the Bible, the book of Proverbs, for instance, and it informs me that when you are quick to speak, slow to listen, you a fool. You don't know the whole story, and you blather on about it, you're a fool. You don't listen deeply, ask wise questions, learn, recalibrate. You're a fool. So we're not going to talk about it today, perhaps someday, but not today. Because I had to let the Bible stomp my feelings. Do I have a desire to say something about the subject? I certainly do. But I need to think a little bit before I just fire away. I need to have some questions answered. All right, who are we talking about? Why are we talking about this? Do I really have something to say that could bless people? Bless, not just, I got to let you know this story. Oh, what do you think about? No, that sharing this would be a blessing to people. And what would that be? And there's other components of wisdom, too. The subject matter of which I'm not speaking is really, really white hot right now. And if you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to get in big trouble. And that means I would be a fool. So despite my feelings, I'm waiting. And I have to confess to you, it isn't entirely easy. It's easier than it used to be. But when my view of the Bible is so high that I realize that I am not the, I want to choose the word correctly, not the master of my feelings. I'm not that. I'm not even the judge of my feelings. I'm not the one who is the supreme determiner of what I'm actually feeling. It's not. I'm confused. If I think that I'm in control of Todd and my feelings are the way that I should operate, I am totally confused. The Bible is the authority. I am not the authority on my feelings. What? Well, if you don't know what they are, who does? God. God knows what our feelings are. God knows how we should be feeling. God knows how we should be thinking. God knows what we should be doing. God knows how our life should be oriented. We're not the expert. He is. So I see something, read something, want to respond to something. Wisdom, the authority in my life, which is revealed in the Bible, says, slow your roll, sunshine. Don't be a fool. And I can just go, okay, that's the right course. Because God knows better than I do. Because I have not been able to answer the questions that the Bible asks me about whether or not I should open up my yammer. Now, you can take faith-led versus feelings-led, and you can put it into your categories. When you have a desire, for instance, you're a man who struggles with pornography. This is really an obvious one, isn't it? You feel like doing that because it feels good. Let's go consult the authority on your feelings. Does God say your feelings from being a voyeur, a peeping Tom, are good? No. No, he doesn't. So do you know what that tells you? Your feelings are wrong, even though they feel really right. What was that song? How can something so wrong feel so right? Because feelings lie? And you need the authority on your feelings to inject itself and its authority and say, that desire is wrong. And that tells you not only that you should be stopping the behavior, but it tells you that you are being lied to by sin. You think it feels good. God says, no, it doesn't. And I'll bet you actually know that to be true, even though you're probably inclined right now to go, no, it feels good. I enjoy it while I'm doing that. While I'm looking, I'm enjoying that. Mm-hmm. God says, no, you're not. Here's how I know. You happy? Satisfied? Marriage robust? Not really. Got a little secret you're keeping? Making you happy? Having to hide and shelter that from everybody? It's not. Why? Because sin doesn't make you happy. you might have a physical sensation. You can take crack, and you know you're gonna feel something first. Is it gonna really make you happy? And the answer is no, because you're being lied to by sin. So how do we put this together? How do we live our lives then? Not as feelings-driven, but as faith-driven? Guess what? The answer is the Sunday school answer. We read our Bibles. We change and we swap our feelings for God's truth, who is the authority on our feelings, and we bow to Him and say, you know my feelings better than I do, and you know what is best for me, so I'm going to do what you say and not simply what I'm feeling. Because, wow, would I like to talk about this subject a lot. This is Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread His gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Attributes of God. God is just. Since He is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment He makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just count your blessings. This is Wretched Radio. If you're thinking, is he going to talk about feelings some more? Because I'd like to move on.org. Well, the answer to your query is yes. Yes, I am. But count your blessings. Why? Because if we don't talk about what I've been experiencing with Dr. Greg Gifford for the last couple of days about biblical counseling, our emotions, and being faith-led and not feelings-led, Then you're going to have to listen to a clip that I could not endure for more than 28 seconds. The clip in question would be New York Governor Kathy, do you know how to pronounce it, Jimmy? H-O-C-H-U-L.
Hochul.
Hochul. She comes from a big Irish Catholic family, she said at her inauguration, and she was speaking to a group of really smart people about God. I got 28 seconds in, and I went, I'm out. Well, I'll listen to it when we have to play this thing. So count your blessings if you don't want me talking about feelings, because if I didn't, you'd have to listen to this.
I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers. He made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you.
Mm. Is her understanding of medicine in general accurate? Yeah, when we have a pill or even a vaccine that is efficacious, that doesn't do more harm than good, it actually cures things and makes the headache go away, we don't thank Tylenol. We thank God for providing the medicine through human instruments. God gets the credit for every headache that subsides. God gets the credit for every cold that goes away. We thank God for medicine. Now, in this instance, of course, kind of depends on what your view is of the jab. But we're only 19 seconds in. I got this far.
And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But
that was it. That was it right there. 28 seconds. I see. This is an attitude that doesn't just exist in the world of Kathy Hochul, Governor Kathy Hochul of New York. This is I'm seeing this even inside of Christendom, and this ain't good. If you recall historically here, I've not shared my opinion about virtually anything, just trying to navigate through thinking. Not this is what I think you should do, but how do we think through all of this stuff? And what I'm seeing right now is sides being taken in the church. And people saying, you have no valid reason for a religious exemption. What? Are you kidding? What about Romans 14? What about conscience issues here? Are you kidding me? And these phrases are being used in society and in the church. The smart ones take the vaccine. What is the implication? The dumb ones don't. I don't think somebody who doesn't take the vaccine is dumb. And if you don't think that I have any credibility, then you need to know that's what Russell Brand says. Would somebody tell me what happened? Did I, Jimmy, fall down the stairs, hit my head, and did I die and go to a third tier universe someplace?
What
am I doing on this planet where Bill Maher and now Russell Brand are actually talking some sense? If you think about that, because that's what's happening. Somehow, and I think the reason that I got Russell Brand in my feed is because somehow I stumbled onto a Bill Maher clip where he was talking sense. And I was kind of, wow, that's really cool to hear, and that he's being honest, and at least he's being a classic liberal, and he's saying that the progressive stuff, in his opinion, is kind of bonkers. It's like, whoa, kind of unusual to be agreeing with Bill Maher, but I'll enjoy it while we have it. And so he was in my feed, and then Russell Brand popped up. Russell Brand, married to Katy Perry. I got to say, I would have thought he's not very bright. I actually think he's a pretty smart guy. I don't think he has a classic education, a traditional education, but he talks about 800 miles an hour, and his vocabulary ain't bad. He's wrong about a lot of stuff, in my opinion. So the headline of it was something about the vaccine, and he said, you know, I'm not taking a position. He said, I'm like Switzerland on the whole vaccine thing. Do whatever. But don't say to those people who don't want to take it that they're idiots. There's some valid reasons. And he even brought up the religious exemption, that there are people who answer to a higher power that believe that it would be a sin for them. And I thought, what universe am I living in? Who turned out the lights? Suddenly, I'm agreeing with Russell Brand. With New York Governor Kathy Hochul, Not so much.
I know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants.
Okay, hold it. Wow, am I glad I stopped. Let me just rewind this tape for you. The governor of New York just said the people who don't take the vaccine aren't smart. And
yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God.
So if you're a Christian and you don't take the vaccine, you're not listening to God.
God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another.
Okay. All right. Let's review. He also taught us that our bodies are important. He laid down his body for our body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, made in the image of God. And if anything is done to them to harm them, that would be a sin. If somebody believes that the jab is harmful, then it would be a sin for them. So we should seek to love our neighbors. But that doesn't mean that we should not be aware of other things that Jesus said.
Ugh. How do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there.
Okay, do you hear how this is stacking up? The way that I found this clip was courtesy of Phil Johnson. Phil Johnson and I were texting last night in preparation for something that we're going to be doing together. And I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, how's about this? And he sends me a clip. He's calling this Branch COVIDians. It's sounding like a religion. It's sounding like, well, she's sending out apostles to preach the gospel of the jab. Whoa. And if you don't, you're a sinner. Tell me that doesn't sound a little bit like religion.
We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to. Fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today. And if there's a denier, I will take you on any day because I've seen it. I know it exists. And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again any longer.
Okay. Stop the sermon. If you've never looked at somebody's worldview and thought about framing it in religious terms, you can do that. We did that Road Trip to Truth season 2 with the environmentalism episode. It's a religion. It has all of the components. It's a belief system. And apparently so is COVID. So just count your blessings if you don't want to talk about your feelings, because you'd have to listen to that religious presentation. And we don't want that. Here's a question about your feelings. Do you have peace in an age when New York governors say things that you might find incendiary, offensive? Do you still have peace? Stock market doing dipsy doodles all over the place. Do you have peace? If I asked you to connect it to something theological, would you say the gospel? Would you connect your lack of peace with a lack of understanding or a lack of application of the gospel? There's a connection, you know. If you don't have a peace that surpasses all understanding, it's because you're not fixated on the thing that has bought you peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian if you're constantly anxious. Doesn't mean that. I mean, it could, of course, but this isn't something that you desire. It just keeps tidal waving over you, and you don't have a peace. I would encourage you to think about the gospel, and the connection that I can make pretty directly is that peace is a fruit of the gospel. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. So if I don't have a whole lot of peace these days, it's because I'm not connecting my emotions, my feelings to the gospel, which informs me my biggest problem has been solved. I do not have a really scary concern nearly as much as being afraid that God is going to judge me. My biggest problem has been solved. I have peace that surpasses all understanding. My eternal problem has been remedied. by a very good Savior named Jesus Christ. Ah, so if you're not experiencing peace, it's not because you're not saved. It's because you're not appreciating the one who has solved your biggest problem. Might I encourage you? Focus on him. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look long at him. Study him. And you will love him more, fear him more, and you will have more peace. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.